Welcome to the Real Estate Pros Podcast, the weekly show for real people in the business of residential sales and property management. Ready to talk insights and inspiration with today's guest, here's your host, Josh Cobb.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Real Estate Pros. Thank you so much for joining me this week. I am your host, Josh Cobb, and this is the weekly show for people in the business of residential sales and property management, where we interview real estate pros and industry experts from all across Australia and around the world, getting to know them a little more personally and the stories behind their success to help you take your career to another level. And I'm excited about this week's show. I'll be speaking with my good friend Ian Campbell, the Director of Sales and Product for the Real Estate Solutions Division at On The House. Ian is going to share with us his background in the real estate industry. We're going to discuss the most common mistakes that real estate professionals make with their database. And Ian will share with us his top tips on how to grow your real estate business with smart database management. But before we catch up with Ian, I have another discovery I'd like to share with you this week. So let's do that right now.
Today's show is brought to you by Beepo, helping businesses save money and be more efficient with specialised outsourcing solutions. Visit beepo.com.au and find out just how easy it is to set up your own trusted outsourcing team that helps take your business to the next level.
This week, I'd like to tell you about an app that's been recently released onto the market here in Australia. They're doing a lot of work with real estate teams all around the country and across the globe. The company is called SnapLoader. And what their app allows the real estate consumer to do is bring a property listing to life. So what you do, or what the real estate consumer does, is take a photo of your listing, whether it be on the internet, in the newspaper, or even on the signboard at the front of the property. And down the bottom of their screen is a selection of widgets. And what those widgets allow the real estate consumer to do is look at more photos of the property, video of the property, inspection times. They have the contact information for the agent. All of that sort of thing. But where it really gets exciting is the 3D floor plan technology, or what's called augmented reality. You might have heard that term spoken about in the industry quite regularly over the last couple of months. Well, what this technology allows the real estate consumer to do is zoom in to the floor plan and have a 3D model of the property. So they can walk through the bedrooms and have a look at where the cupboards are placed in a certain part of the house, that sort of thing. So it's really exciting. It's a really cool app. I had a demonstration of the technology just a couple of weeks ago from the guys there at SnapLoader. They're great guys, and they've got some really exciting updates happening in the next little while, especially for real estate agents. So I certainly encourage you to go and check their app out and have a trial of the app. You can do that on their website, snaploader.com. And it might just help you close more sales, and it might just help you stand out when you're sitting in the lounge room with your vendors. And with that, let's transition over to this week's featured guest. Well, I'm excited to introduce our guest today, Ian Campbell, the Director of Sales and Product for Real Estate Solutions Division at On The House Group. Ian has specialised in the area of data and technology in the real estate industry since 2003. And today, Ian mainly focuses on the console suite of products at On The House and is developing the company's next generation of data-driven solutions in order to revolutionise the software available to the industry in the future. Mr. Ian Campbell, welcome to the show.
Hi, Josh. Thanks for having me.
Ian, I've given our listeners just a brief overview, but take a minute. Can you tell us a little bit more about you personally and give us an overview of On The House?
Well, look, I think the bio is a really flattering one. I've spent most of my working career in the real estate industry in different aspects. And I joined it when I was a young fella and looking for... I guess I was like most Gen X's and Gen Y's, we're a fairly ambitious mob. And real estate is one of those industries where the sky's the limit. And I really fell in love with it. And ever since, I've always had an interest in technology and have also studied marketing. So it's kind of my career to date has been a varied one. But fundamentally, it's about people. Providing shelter for people at the end of the day and servicing the people that provide that service. So, that's kind of my background. And On The House is a more recent engagement of mine. And On The House, for a lot of people, is probably something that's not really well understood as a brand. It's a newish company, started in 2006 as just a portal. by a guy called Michael Fredericks. And at the time, it was somewhat revolutionary in that it provided all the government sales data that companies like RP Data and the like would charge agents for. It was actually giving it away for free to consumers on a website. And so it was a really interesting concept. And to date, it's now the third largest portal in the country on thehouse.com.au, behind obviously real estate, a common domain. But the reason for that growth is because of that point of difference. They really are the leaders in providing rich content to consumers. And of course, on the other side of the business, we have Console and Port Plus. So big technology companies, Console particularly is just an outstanding brand. We have an incredible reputation in the marketplace and a long history of providing great solutions in terms of software to the industry, which I'm really proud to be a part of.
I'd love to loop back just around and have a chat to you about the listing portal component of onthehouse.com.au. I've seen you do a presentation at one of the user groups last year, and you mentioned some of the data around visitors to the website and where they're going once they've been to the website or where they're not going. Something I found quite interesting was that a certain percentage of your website visitors come to your website and they don't go anywhere else. Can you expand on that for our listeners and what I might be alluding to there?
Yeah, okay. So when you look at the statistics, 80% of our customers are not going on to visit another real estate portal. So what that effectively means, and when you look at what On The House does, On The House is the only portal that provides data on every address in Australia. So we have roughly 13 million addresses in our database, and on each one of those addresses we have some property information. So that might be bed, bath, car information, what we call attributes, but also we have all that rich history of sales information coming from the governments, and also Residex is part of our group as well. So all of that information is available on the website. And for anyone that's ever Googled their own address, a bit like Googling your own name, for anyone that's Googled their own address, you'll find that onthehouse.com.au ranks very, very highly in address-based search. And that's been one of our key factors of growing our traffic. And so, you know, cut a long story short, what that has resulted in is a lot of our visitors are people who own their own homes today. And we also provide what's called a guesstimate, or which is just an AVM or an automated valuation methodology used by most banks in order to provide financing on a property. We provide that information to 99% of those addresses, and it's effectively a homeowner going in and curious about the price of their own home. And what we do know is that that is one of the number one lead indicators for somebody who's thinking about selling, is wondering what their home is worth. So that's a really good point of difference for our company, and something that a lot of agencies, I mean, our current customers who are using the portal to drive their own brand awareness, they may not be aware of, the people that aren't using the site for that purpose. So it's really profile for jam. Mm,
no, it's quite fascinating. Well, your LinkedIn profile says you're a self-confessed data geek, and knowing you for probably about 12 years now, I think, I know how passionate you are about database management. Why is database management so important in a real estate business? And why do you think so many real estate agents get it wrong, in your opinion?
Look, if you're an Edwards Deming fan or anyone that's read a book around, you know, the old school management techniques, you know, the saying, what gets measured gets managed. It's very hard to run a business effectively on gut instinct, particularly a large and complex business. And so that's why I am so passionate about data and how you use it in a business context, is that if you can't get good information from your business and your marketplace, how can you possibly know where to focus your efforts? And in today's business environment, it's so competitive. You have to prioritize. You can't waste your resource. And whether that's time or money, you can't spend money in areas where it's not going to get a return. And doing that on gut feel, or doing that, which is not 90% of what agencies do today, they kind of come up with an idea they think is a good campaign or they think is a good idea to put in market, but they've got no evidence to really understand, well, what is the size of that opportunity? What should I expect from this campaign? And you know, if you don't have that fundamental grounding and know how to do that, then you're really not going to be as competitive as someone who does. So that's why I believe in it. It is a fundamental belief of mine, and every success I have had is because I've understood that, you know, I've used data to try and target my focus. You know, I've got a number of case studies where I could talk about that, but I guess what I do see in agencies is a disrespect for information, and the behavior that is, you know, I'll give you a really simple one, is you download a list of property owners from RP Data and you import it into your own CRM. Like, that's outrageous. Not only is it against the terms of use for RP Data and as well for ourselves, and it's just a waste of time for you. So if that's how you've worked your CRM to date, you probably need to think about what I'm saying.
Well, I think it's you go to a conference these days, or you hear an interview with some high-profile agent anywhere in the country, even around the world, and when they're asked what the secret to their success has been, more times than not, they'll mention their database and how they measure it, how they nurture it. And we do a lot of work with real estate businesses all over the country. And when we ask them to send us their, we do a lot of sort of lead generation content marketing for them. And when we start creating custom audiences for them to send that content to, it's fascinating to see people that have been in the industry 20, 30 years, and their email list is no more than 40, 50 people, which is just incredible. So let's look at it from a basic level. What are the critical elements to managing a successful database, both in terms of, I guess, technologies and behaviors? What do great agents do that others don't, do you think?
Okay, so great agents don't do what I described in the first instance. They don't flood their database with junk, right? They, you know, the great agents, and you know, you hear a lot of these case studies at conferences and things, but the great agents will have a list that is constantly has a percentage of that list which is effectively archived every so often. And so what they know is, they know there is a number, there's a limit to how many people can be on that list at any one point in time for them to effectively manage it. Right, it's like trying to do too many jobs. You just won't do it, and that number will be different for every person, and will be different for a variety of factors. It might be the time you've been in the industry, for example. So you may not have the actual time in market to meet as many people as someone who's been in market for 5 years. Mm. So that would be the number one thing I would say. Is a lot of people starting out, particularly because they don't have a big list, they feel the temptation to kind of chuck a bunch of names in there to compensate for that. I mean, that's a critical mistake if you're starting out. And like you said, for the people that have been in market a long time, they kind of wake up to the fact one day that they they realize, well, if I met 10 people every weekend at my open homes for the last 5 years, that's effectively 2,500 people I should have in my database today. Oh my God. So they panic, and again, they might go through and get their old diaries or get someone to data enter all that information. And again, if you're not calling it, make sure it's up to date, that's a bad thing to do. So that's number one, be ruthless with your information in what's on your list, and don't be afraid to cull it. There's some evidence to show that human beings have a limit to how many relationships they can effectively manage. And I'm not sure if anyone else has talked about the Dunbar number on your show.
No, they haven't.
I'll give it to you. So, again, this is just because I love data, and this guy's kind of I read a lot. If you read a lot about business process and a lot of the, and I mentioned Edward Deming before. He was really the godfather of lean business practices and lean process management. But Robert Dunbar is a British anthropologist who studied monkeys and the size of their brains. And why he studied them was he wanted to understand the limits for people to manage social engagement and relationships. And so effectively, to kind of give you the punchline, he said that most human beings will be capable will only be capable of managing an effective relationships with approximately 150 people. And that's simplifying it just for the purpose of this show. But if you go and Google it, you'll find a bunch of information. And you know, what's really amazing is that, when social media came to the forefront, everyone started to say, wow, this technology is going to be so fundamental in, like, our ability to manage relationships is going to multiply exponentially. And so obviously Robert Dunbar's research, it's actually quite recent, so it's not that old, and he's still doing more of it today. And so a lot of people sort of challenge Robert Dunbar's 150 concept because of social media. And I said, well, I've got 5,000 friends on Facebook. You're telling me I can only have 150. And if you Google that, I guarantee it's interesting reading, and you will find that there hasn't been a single person to date that has been able to debunk that that number. So it's a fascinating, and that's something your listeners need to really understand. There is a limit to how many people you can spend time with in order to grow a relationship. And that's something. It might be 150, but for you it might be 300. Just know what your limit is.
I think, well, what I take pardon me, what I take from that is really it doesn't matter how many people you know or how many friends you have on Facebook or something like that. It's how many that care. And we were doing an audit, pardon me, on a particular real estate business. I won't divulge even the location, but they've got close to 10,000 followers on Facebook. And when we were going through that audit, we found that 8,900 of those people were located in Bangladesh. So it was quite a fascinating experience to sit down with that particular business owner and and really explain the importance of having people that are relevant to their business following their business on social media. But in terms of technologies and that sort of thing, Ian, can you share with us some of the insights you've got into the technologies that are available today and for database management and particularly where some real estate agents might fall down when they're selecting a new CRM or something like that?
Okay. One parting thought on the whole relationship discussion. One of my biggest people I respect in the industry is a man called Mark McLeod, and a lot of my time was with the Ray White Group. And Mark had a fabulous saying, which was, I want you to tell me anyone you've had a relationship with that you've never spoken to. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I think it rings true, and had a lot of respect for Mark, and he's probably one of the industry's best trainers, sales trainers.
Yeah, no, very powerful.
Technology. So many options, and even in our own suite of products at Console, we now have. We've obviously got our gateway, which is property management, but a lot of people don't understand that it also has a CRM component in that that's fully integrated, can be fully integrated across sales and property management. So you have a single database. Now we've got some big plans for that in the future, but that's something in terms of my personal mission in terms of CRM technology in the future is that the separation of powers or the silos that exist within most agencies today, in that your property management database, contact database, and your sales contact database are in two different places and don't talk to each other, is a fundamental flaw. Because what we know is that you're dealing with some of the very same people. One in three properties are rented in Australia. And that means effectively one in three properties are purchased for the purpose of renting, which means there's a landlord at the end of that. And so when you start to think about that, in some markets it can be quite high. You know, again, this is kind of where I rely on information and data to guide my decision making. If you're in a marketplace where 5% of the dwellings in your marketplace are rented, then maybe this isn't such a big issue for you. But if you're in a marketplace where 50% of the dwellings are rented and effectively landlord owned, you need to make sure that your database systems between your sales and property management businesses are intrinsically linked and are driving leads both to both parts of the business effectively. So technology-wise, look, I haven't seen that done very, very well. We do it in our gateway product. We also have a client manager product, which is a CRM. But again, it's mainly a sales-based CRM. And I guess in the next year or so, we're looking at how we bring those two together to solve that problem. That's number one, is try and make sure you're only working off one database. Number two, don't overcomplicate it. So when you look at information management, and particularly around contacts, you're looking at how do I keep a record of the names and of the people I know? And also, how do I make sure that my engagement strategy, and I use that term, engagement strategy, firstly, you should be saying, do I have an engagement strategy? I'll come back to that. Does the information that I'm capturing facilitate my engagement strategy? So really basic example. If your engagement strategy at the moment only includes electronic mail and you're only collecting an email address for one in every two contacts, you're not going to be effective again, across your database. So you need to make sure that whatever your key channels are, and the, likewise, I mean, anyone that's just doing emails, their engagement strategy is probably kidding themselves. But likewise, if a key part of your engagement strategy is making phone calls, you need to have a phone number, right? So, I mean, this is basic things, but they're where people fall down. And they worry about bells and whistles. You know, marketing automation is something that you can go to the nth degree on in terms of building out complex workflows that, you know, should this happen, this triggers these three events to these three different people at this time, and, you know, there's 3 days of separation. You would spend half a year trying to build out those business rules for your own business. And in that time, if you had to just focus on capturing the right good information, calling someone every 3 months, you probably would have had three times the result. So don't get distracted by the bells and whistles.
Is there a minimum standard, do you think, for the information that goes into a database? You mentioned that what I take from what you just said was there really is, it depends on how you want to engage with people and your engagement strategy. But is there really a minimum standard for what real estate agents, business owners, property managers, the whole agency put into a database?
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah. I mean, it is dependent upon your own engagement strategy and how sophisticated you are in managing a database. But as a basic level, before on the house, I was consulting, and all my clients, how we measured their database growth or what we effectively counted, again, you've got to measure these things. If a contact came into the database and they didn't have an email address, we didn't count them. Or if they didn't have a phone number, we didn't count them. And personally, you know, real estate's a geographic game. If you didn't know an address that should be associated with that contact, and that might be the property in which they live or a property that they own, if you didn't know one property, how can you possibly justify them being in your database? Mm. Because that's what in real estate, that's what your database is there for, to tell you who owns what property in order to become a future seller, particularly. And for sales, that's a really important bit. Mm. And so if you can't actually adequately explain, if I can't look at your contact database and you've got 1,000 people in there and only 10 have a property associated with them, why are they there? Mm. And it's generally just because you haven't got the data. So that's for me, that's what would be a minimum for anyone.
I recently saw, I won't name any names or name the company or even the location too, but there was recently something I saw of an agent that had posted however many thousands of letters out to their database, and the letter pretty much asked the homeowner, it was to the homeowner, had a postal address on the letter, but it was asking the homeowner to call them. I don't have a number for you, but can you please call me? I'd love to talk to you about possibly if you're thinking of selling or know of anyone who does. What's your opinion of, I guess, that approach? Is it really a waste of time, a waste of money and resources, in your opinion?
I think it's, you know, that's a symptom of not having a good database. you know, when you just, I mean, I'll give you the really basic, when you're just starting out, you're going to need to do some of those things in order to make connections with people. It's not a particularly efficient way to do it necessarily, and it's, and it may not position you well within the marketplace, which are all different considerations, you know. So I'll give you a really funny example, actually, and I won't name the agency, but okay, so I bought in December, right? And during that purchase process, I dealt with the agency that sold me the property, but I was also I'd also submitted a contract on another property, which is the agency I'm talking about right now in terms of them marketing to me. So I'd actually dealt with this agency but all but 5 months ago. I got a handwritten letter on my door last week, and then 2 days later, which effectively it wasn't really handwritten. It was just one of those crappy. It was printed on a bit of notepaper as if it was meant
good,
to be.
Yeah, it's a handwritten font.
Right? Yeah, that's right. So anyway, so I threw it in the bin and thought nothing of it. But they'd actually gone to the effort of coming up to the door and putting it in the crack of the door rather than the letterbox. So it at least got my attention. The next day I actually got a phone call, which again is a lot of effort. Not many people actually go to that effort. And the spiel went like this is, Ian, I was at your property the other day, and look, I've got a buyer coming up. I live in Brisbane. I've got a buyer coming up from Sydney, and I was just wondering if you think about selling. Now, this question coming from a person within an agency that I submitted a contract on, not just inquired, but physically submitted a contract on, coming from the same agency, and he, for whatever reason, their database didn't have that information on it. And then anyway, I had a bit of fun, and I said, look, what's the buyer's budget? He said, look, it's $1.5 million. I'd only paid – I won't tell you what I paid, but look,
sure.
Suffice it to say, if I had gotten $1.5 million, it would have been a considerable return on my money in 6 months. And so that's how the conversation went from there on, and I haven't had it back. But look, you know, I think the things to take out of that story is that you will deal with a lot of people in your local marketplace when you look at it at an agency level. And this is the principal's fault. This is not the salesperson's fault. The principal's fault is that they allow their brand to be diminished through the behavior of their salespeople. Now, for whatever reason, that initial engagement with the agency when I was going through that buying process, for whatever reason, the information that was, I would hope, I can't imagine how it wasn't entered into their database, because actually, as I said, it wasn't just an offer, it was a contract. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, that information hasn't flowed through to then be available in their prospecting activity. Mm. And imagine what that experience would have been like for me as a potential seller if the person calling me could actually adequately describe that engagement of 6 months earlier. Mm. Instead, because they've had a completely different discussion with me, I've all of a sudden just switched off. And that particular agency will not be the kind of agency I want to sell my home through. And I own a number of properties. And that's the reality of what happens, is that if you don't take control of your database, you are effectively not taking control of your brand and how it's being because more than anything else, more than logos, colors, profile, you know, advertising, it's how your people – engage with your potential customers is what defines your brand the most.
Mm. Well, I think there's certainly a focus on the short game in real estate, and that's, you know, how do I get a sale? And that's the way real estate salespeople have thought for forever and a day. It's been ingrained in them since the day they started. They're paid to get results. But a little saying by a friend of mine, Jay Bayer, who says, you know, you sell something and you'll create a customer today, but if you help someone, you'll create a customer for life. And I think that comes right back to your point of having the information. You can't help someone if you don't know how to help them, if you don't have the information in your database to do that. So, I think it's such a powerful and valid point. What should an agent consider before jumping in and you know, like you say, being blinded by the bright and shiny object syndrome, what should they consider before they jump in and purchase the latest, greatest software?
So what you need to do first is you need to work out your business processes first. So before you can choose a system, you need to adequately understand what the system is meant to, the outputs of that system. Okay, so, and often they'll let the system dictate the outputs, which is not the way to go about it. So, for example, one product might have a certain way of managing contact information. And in market, like if you look at the products, I'll give you an example. Like Salesforce, for example, is this huge CRM, you know, and it is enterprise grade. We use it as a B2B sales tool. But you can stuff it up, you know, because generally what will happen is you'll go into it and you'll see all the tabs and you'll see all the bits of information you can capture against the contact, and then all of a sudden you just go hammer and tongs. Whereas for most people, when they're starting out with a database, they need to keep it simple. And you need to simplify your process in order to achieve anything. If you try and change too much at once, then that will cause you issues. So I guess in terms of your choice of technology needs to align with your capability. Okay, so if you're not capable, or if you're just starting out learning about how to manage a CRM effectively or how to manage a database effectively, don't go spending top dollar on the best system out there. Go and buy something that's robust, reliable, that's got the key things that you need according to your plan and your goals. And, you know, pick it on its strengths. So if that particular product's strength is that you can access it wherever you are and, you know, they have really good support, which is a really key thing for me in technology, is I see it hearing in console particularly, you know, we know that support is one of the things we just absolutely have to excel on, and we're constantly improving that part of our business. You know, so if that's a key factor and you go and buy a product that's overseas, you know, are you really going to get that kind of support, and are they going to know the local market, etc.? So there's a number of variables, but create that list first, create your process first, create your engagement strategy first, then think about what does your system need to do in order to deliver on that, and then go and shop.
Well, it's very much what we did when we started our business, and we very much sat down and mapped out the process of the different touch points with prospects, leads, and clients or customers. And we went through, oh, gosh, I don't know, it would have been probably five different CRMs, five different email service providers, five different accounting package software, you know, that would all talk to each other. Our number one goal was to have as much automation as we could in the stuff that people don't need to do, whether that be autoresponders or, you know, receipt, invoicing and that sort of thing. So the process came first. And like I said, we went through five in each of those areas, five different software providers before we found what we really needed. So I can vouch for the fact that that definitely works, mapping out the process first. But well, let's shift to what you guys are working on today at On the House. What are you guys working on that's getting you fired up at the moment? Or what you can tell us anyway?
Yeah, what can I tell you? Okay, here's what I can tell you. We have gone through in the last little while. We have done an exorbitant amount of research. You know, I'm a passionate advocate of customer-centric thinking. And what that means is that even though I've been in the industry a long time and I might think that I know what the industry wants, I always need to validate that with our customers. And you've been lucky enough, Josh, to come along to one of our user groups that we run for conference – for console, sorry. And our upcoming events in May and June are all sold out because they've been fantastic. But effectively what they're about is about us pulling together a list of things that we'd like to do, but also going back and checking in with our customers and making sure that's on track with what they think and getting constant feedback. We're about to embark upon a significant change at console. We are going to be investing or we are investing today, a considerable amount of money in taking our applications to that next level. The brands of Console and Port Plus have been around for quite some time, and at certain and in some instances, they're still incredibly strong, and we want to make sure that when we move forward on this next period of innovation, that what we're not doing is throwing the baby out with the bathwater, that we're capitalizing on the strengths we have today, and we know what those are. I mean, our customers tell us that our strengths today are our product's ability to be customized to their own individual workflows, which, again, if you kind of think about what I'm saying around how do you make an effective CRM, it's about flexibility, right? So we want to make sure we absolutely retain that strength. They tell us that reliability is their number one thing, and that, you know, we want to make sure that we're market leaders in that. We're just about to announce, and this isn't a technology thing. This is a – well, it is. This is – again, it's a customer guarantee. And we're about to announce that very shortly. We'll be rolling that out from at ARIC, actually, in May. We're also rolling out a new inspections application, which is part of our gateway solution, which is actually free. A lot of people don't understand that. A lot of our competitors charge for these add-ons, but we see mobile inspections as a key capability for any real estate agency that's going to get scale. And so we just don't make it one of those things that you have to make a decision on. We just include it in the package because, yeah, we know that you're not going to be profitable unless you can be effective out on site. So we're releasing a new version of that at ARIC as well. It's actually in beta as of today, which is exciting news for us. We've been working out a long time. But what we did to inform this kind of next level is we did a research program, which took us 4 months. And we went right across the Eastern Seaboard in terms of physical interviews. We engaged a third party to help us be independent on this. And we did research into what are the key things that the industry wants now. We interviewed everyone from principals to property managers to administrators to salespeople, like all stakeholders we got input from. We did quantitative analysis of over 30,000. We sent it out to about 30,000 people and got about 1,000 respondents, which is quite a good response rate for any kind of quant analysis. You know, research to not just here in Australia, but also overseas, a lot of desk-based research. And I go to, as you do, Josh, the Inman conference, which is probably one of the leading international technology conferences to kind of see what's on the radar. And so I haven't told you a lot of detail about what we're doing, but I guess the detail will come at the right time. So the detail at the moment is customer support guarantee is our number one focus. Inspections application is out today. We're integrating with the REI queue and REI forms, which is a major provider of the form solutions for property management. That's coming out in the near future. Our key focus in terms of the immediate future is effectively our landlord or our customer engagement portals, we call them. So if you think about the next level of competition in agency, it's not so much going to be around who can do the best prospecting letter. And along the lines of what I've described to you about my experience before, it's going to be about who can provide the best experience to the consumer around the provision of real estate services. And for us, that's we have a product today called Online Agent, which is a landlord-tenant portal, which is very much 1995 in terms of what it looks like. It looks like, you know, internet banking when it first came out. And all you need to do is – I mean, internet banking is a great case study in how have, you know – some people might look at real estate as not a very trendy kind of service provision. But if you look at the effort that the banks have put into to their online service delivery platforms, i.e. internet banking, apps, all that sort of stuff, you can see where the next level of property management service and real estate service needs to get to. You need to start to think about that. And that's going to be 100% of our immediate focus is building out an unbelievable experience for people who are clients of our clients. And when you think about the assets we have on the house, which has property data on every property in the country. And we have some of the best property management and sales solutions out there. It's about bringing all those back office tools into a interface for the end consumer that really starts to make them question the service that they're getting from the industry. And that's our goal, is we really want to, you know, if you take the way people think about real estate agents and the service that they get from them, the value they provide, it's unfair, the perception out there, because we all know that the good ones provide extreme value, and that the people that do the right thing provide exceptional value. And that's what I am passionate about, is I am passionate about making sure that the end consumer knows that value, understands that value, and is able to easily verbalize, you know, at an individual level, what is the value my agent provides to me, and they can adequately explain that to their friends. If we can create that, and if any business can create that, you've not only got a fantastic thing for the industry in that all of a sudden you don't have a trust issue, you've actually got a benchmark that empowers consumers to know what is good and what is not good value. So good value are these three things. Not good value is getting a phone call from the same agency that you spoke to 5 months ago and put a contract in and they can't even be bothered to take your name down. Like, that's not what good service is.
Mm.
And so that will be our focus in the next 12 months.
Well, I've got a little saying, and you may have heard me say it a couple of times. We've spoken about these things many a time. My little saying is that, you know, agents won't be replaced by technology, but agents will be replaced by other agents who effectively use technology. And 100%. I think the customer experience is the differentiating factor, especially in an industry like real estate that, unfortunately, over the years has been commoditized in some aspects. But I think look, all credit to you guys. I know you've been with the company how long now? 18 months? 24 months?
Yeah, it's almost two. It's 18, between 18 months and two. I lose track of time. It's been fun.
But knowing how much effort you guys have put into those user groups and getting feedback from the people that are using the product and speaking to those people after, they may come in a little bit hesitant about providing their feedback, because I know that sometimes it's not all positive, especially in a company the size of yours with the amount of clients that you have. But you guys have embraced that, you know, with open arms. And I think some of the comments of people leaving those sessions where their perception is completely flipped, because they can see why they're a part of that. So I think it's really great.
I mean, just to comment on that, I mean, it is our 100% a change in attitude here in the last 18 months, is that, you know, and it's not just us. I mean, you know, every service provider will have detractors for whatever reason. And the question is not so much, do you have them? Of course you have them. You'll always have them. The question is, what do you do about it? And do you front up? Do you engage with them? Do you listen to them? Do you take the feedback on? And do you work on solving that? And do you understand what your role is in terms of making them successful? And that is our fundamental. That's what we have tattooed to everyone's forehead in this place, is how do we make our customers successful? And that's what being customer-centric is about.
Well, Ian, thanks for your input so far. We're about to hit the fast five, where I'll ask you five quick questions, get you to come back with five quick answers. But before we do, we're going to hear our fast fact of the week. This week's fast fact comes from a report published by WeAreSocial.net. It found that Australians spend on average 2.1 hours per day on social media, an increase of 12% from just 12 months ago. With over 13.6 million active social media accounts in Australia, I think it's a timely reminder to consider what you're doing to get noticed, liked, and shared on social media. I'm keen to hear what's working for you. Drop me a line via our website, Facebook, or Twitter. Well, Ian, we've reached one of my favourite parts of the show, where I'll ask you five quick questions and get you to come back with five quick answers. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Name one person who has been an inspiration to you throughout your career and why.
You know, I started my career with Ray White Group, personally I worked very closely with Brian White, and look, he is an inspiration a person that has spent decades in this industry and also in business. Look, he taught me the true value of silence and listening and being a good listener. So I'll always credit Brian for that lesson in life.
And what is your favorite thing in the world to do when you're not at the office?
Getting out the boat and having a fish.
What is your favorite business book that you've ever read and why?
I've got two. Now, the second one, I don't want people to get the wrong idea about me, but the first one is The Lean Startup. I think it's a great book. It teaches you about, you know, how to test your assumptions and how to make sure you don't waste time and money.
Eric Ries, great book.
Yeah, great book. Second one is Buddhism for Busy People. Like, look, for the life of me, I can't remember the author. But what that does is it teaches you the values of Buddhism of and effectively it brings it down to, you know, most people will get the greatest enjoyment out of life when they help us. And it teaches you values around how to understand what's truly important and what's just noise. And that for me is a book that I will read regularly to make sure that I understand what matters.
Well, the book was written by, I've just got it up on the screen here, a guy by the name of David Michie. So we'll put the link in there for everyone to check that out. I think it's a great suggestion. What is your favorite technology resource, Ian, that you use daily to help run a better business?
There are two things I could not do what I do without. One is Excel, and I know that sounds geeky, but I did a 5-day advanced financial modeling course when I was probably 20, and it's been a key productivity tool for me moving forward. And the other is Evernote. Evernote for me is just where I manage all of my ideas and thoughts, and it's a key tool that I think everyone should be using.
For those people who may not be familiar with Evernote, Ian, can you describe what the software is and what it does?
Look, it's very powerful, but I use it as a pretty simple. It's effectively a note-taking tool, and you can use it on an app. It's multi-device. You can access it wherever you are, and for me, I use it to jot down ideas. I use it to prompt me of gardening I need to do on the weekend.
You do gardening?
And, absolutely, I do. And look, for me, it's a great platform for me to produce content when I've got spare time. So if I'm on the train or something, I'll have a document that's half written, and I just jump into Evernote and finish it off.
Well, Ian, it's often said that the success of a real estate business is measured by how many properties they sell or how many properties they manage. If you had to choose one thing that prevents people in real estate from achieving success, however they measure it, what would it be, and what would your advice be to overcome it?
Number one is most definitely time management. It is just about segmenting your time. It's the only thing we all have the same amount of. And what defines successful people versus non-successful people is that successful people use their time well and they're ruthless with it. And what they need to do, the number one tip that I can give you if you want to be better at time management is to make sure your diary is full. So have everything, every moment accounted for. And then it's a simple equation of what things are you going to make time for and what things are you not going to make time for. And it's something I coach in my own team members is if there is something important that they need to get done, if it's not in your diary, then you're not truly committed.
Well, Ian, I have one last question for you to leave our listeners with some motivation for the week ahead. What's your favorite success quote and how do you think people in real estate can relate to it?
Yeah, look, it's a personal one. I mean, I mentioned it in our interview, Edwards Deming, what gets measured gets managed. If you don't know where you're starting from, you'll never know where you're going to. It's a critical thing for anyone who wants to succeed in business.
Well, listeners, you can find all of the resources Ian has shared with us today, along with all of the show notes, by visiting our website at steps.com.au/Ian Campbell. Well, Ian, on behalf of our listeners, I'd like to thank you for your time, knowledge and advice today. I know that people are going to resonate with the stories you've shared. How can people get in touch with you or find out more about On The House?
Sure. So they can go, well, if you would have found about On The House, specifically onthehouse.com.au or our console business, console.com.au. If you want to get hold of me, Twitter, I'm an avid Twitterati. And my handle is at Ian_S_Campbell. S is for Stuart, Stewart. It's my lovely middle name. Generally, they're the best ways to keep in touch, or LinkedIn as well. I am on there.
Mr. Ian Campbell, thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Josh Cobb.
Well, that's it for this week. Thank you so much for joining me. If you do enjoy the Real Estate Pros podcast, we love reviews to help us get found. So please head over to iTunes and let us know how the show has helped you. And whether you did or you didn't enjoy today's show, we'd love to hear from you about how we can improve. Because at the end of the day, the show has all started to help you, the Real Estate Pro. I hope you have a great week ahead, and I look forward to having you join us again next week. Bye for now.